we are going to be in Zechariah 4, but I'm going to back it up to verse 1. So just to keep you on your toes, it's been a week or so since I've changed everything. So, but we are going to be in a book that a lot of times people just, it's not a Sunday morning book sometimes. And so we are going to look into this because as I went throughout this week, probably the last 2 weeks, but mainly this week, I've had this note on my desk with that basically that title, Stay Small, Stay Connected, Stay Active. It's been on a post-it note on my desk for about, I'd say at least a month. Actually, I know it has because when I ripped the calendar over to switch into September, it had already been on there. But as we look at this passage this morning, there's one part of it that is very popular, one verse in there that I'm sure most of us have heard at some time in our lives. But this morning, I want us to answer a question. Before I read the scripture, I want us to answer a question. I want you to start thinking, what is God calling you to do today? You have to answer that. You have to answer it today. You have to answer it right now. Because if you're here and you're not willing to answer that question, then you might as well just leave. Because I'm going to be wasting your time. Because God has something for you to do. If God didn't have something for us to do, then when we accepted Him, He would have took us on to heaven. But He left you here for a reason. Maybe it's because of that person right beside you. Maybe it's because of that person you work with or you go to school with or that you're going to come in contact with tomorrow that you have never met before. But God is calling you to do something and you have to answer and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? And that's a very scary question. Because if you ask Him that, He's going to answer you. And then you have to respond. And so this morning, as we go into this passage, we're going to read just 9 verses from chapter 4 of Zechariah. But as we do that, I want you to answer in your mind that question as we listen to what took place. Starting in verse 1, it says, Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me. As a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, What do you see? So I said, I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, 7 lamps with 7 pipes to 7 lamps. 2 olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, Do you not know what these are? And I said, No, my Lord. So he answered and said to me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Let's pray. Father God, I pray right now more than anything that you would move us. Lord, draw us. For without you drawing us, Lord, we know nothing is possible. Lord, unless your Spirit reveals your word to us, it's just mumbling. Lord, my prayer is that today your Spirit moves in this place, moves in each one of us in a way that would make us challenged, even uncomfortable, encouraged, convicted. Whatever it is that we need, Lord, that we might honor you more. Lord God, we lift this time to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Now this is one of Probably, I think this is like the fifth vision that has come to Zechariah at this time, and he is sharing this, or to share this vision with Zerubbabel. Now, Zerubbabel was a governor at that time. The children of Israel had been in captivity for 70 years in Babylon. And so they had just been allowed to come back out of captivity and go back and build the walls. And now God is telling Zerubbabel, you're going to build my temple. Now, when I ask you that question, what is God calling you to do? I'm pretty sure that not a single one of you got that answer. Pretty sure that nobody here was told, you're going to build my temple. Because we are his temple. And so in a way, he's going to build his temple in us. But Zerubbabel, as he comes back, they've been allowed to come back. They've been allowed to build. And now it seems like everything should be pretty easy, right? But here he is. He's in the line of David. He is a governor at the time. And his task is to complete the temple. Well, surely if he's in that lineage of David, if he's got the power of the governor, as a governor, you know, they just got out of captivity, surely there would be nothing against him that would slow him down. Here, Zechariah is telling him, you're going to build a temple for God. You're going to rebuild that temple. But he had some opposition. There was Samaritan opposition there. And that's that outside opposition of people keeping you from doing what God's calling you to do. Surely you don't have that in your life. Surely none of us have people in our lives that would ever keep us from doing what God's called us to do. Yes, you do. And they're loving people. They're people that love you. Now, these Samaritans, they were not loving people. They were not wanting Zerubbabel to build this temple. But there are people in our lives today that you and I don't want to go up and tell them, this is what God's calling me to do, because we know they're not going to want to hear that. I've been there. I'm sure most of you have been there at some point. Maybe it's when some of you went on mission trips when you were younger and you had to go and tell your parents, hey, I'm going to go to Zimbabwe. That wasn't an easy thing, was it, Ken, when your daughter said, hey, God's calling me to Zimbabwe. And I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking, glad it wasn't me. So it had to have been so hard for Sarah to come and tell Ken that God's calling me to Zimbabwe. Though she knew that her parents would support her, there are some of us that we don't want to tell people because they don't want to hear it, because it's going to cause some type of separation, whether it's distance or whatever. And then there are also those people that are in our lives that we don't want to tell them because they're going to make fun of us. Really, you think God's calling you to do that? Who do you think you are that God is going to call you to do that? Zerubbabel's a governor. He's in the line of David. Man, he had it laid out for him. But you know, he also faced something else. Besides that outside influence that didn't want him to do it, the Samaritan opposition, he had those people in his life that should have been excited, but they had that apathetic attitude. We really don't need it. You really don't need to go build that temple. Or maybe they were just so discouraged because it didn't happen immediately. Man, we're facing all those people that don't want us to do what God calls us to do, and it seems like I'm not getting it done, and discouragement comes in. That happens to all of us. But what is God calling you to do? If you don't have opposition, then maybe it's not God calling you to do it. Just a thought. Because if God is calling you to do something with your life, Whatever it is, whether it's to minister to somebody, just to love somebody, to share with somebody, or to come to Him as your personal Lord and Savior, if there's no confrontation, if there's no opposition, if there's no discouragement, then there's an issue. Because Satan is always going to oppose what God's doing. So if there is no opposition in my life, then I'm probably not doing anything for God. That's kind of scary. Man, everything's going pretty smooth. It's all sunshine and roses. It's been that way for a long time. Then maybe it's because you're not doing anything for God. Just a thought. Throwing it out there. As we look at this, as Zerubbabel had plenty of reasons and excuses to not build the temple. All those we just talked about, the same excuses you guys can come up with, the same excuses I've always come up with. And there's just all these reasons, all these excuses why I just don't know that this is the best thing. You ever picture yourself telling God that? Maybe not verbally. Maybe you don't want to say it out loud, even in your mind. But if He's calling you to do something and you're not willing to do it, then you're telling Him that you know better than He does. And you're also telling Him that He's not your Lord. So this message that we're going to get into right now, that God sends to Zerubbabel through Zechariah, is for you today. Because when you thought about what it is that God's calling you to do today, if you're really prayerfully desiring to do what God has called you to do, the plan and the purpose of your life, if you really want to do that, then like I said, there's going to be opposition, but you're going to need this message. Like I said, I think I even had it posted here on the pulpit for like 2 weeks just to remind me, because I know I need this. But let's look at what he says. Because the first thing is that stay small. Stay humble. You can't do it. He says, when you talk to Zerubbabel, tell him it's not by might and not by power that you're going to build this temple. Now, might was an understanding in this translation. Might talks about numerous men. Okay? I don't care how many people you have helping you. I don't care how many people that come alongside you and are supporting you, Zerubbabel, it doesn't matter. No matter what your might is, no matter what your numbers are, that's not how you're going to build this temple. No matter what God is calling you to do, well, maybe if I get all these youth to support me, or maybe if I get all the young at heart to support me, or maybe if I get all... I don't care how many people you try to get to support you. That's not going to get the job done. Because it's not by might. No matter how many people I can swale around behind me to get something done, it's not going to get God's plan done. Not by might. That's what he told Zerubbabel. We're looking at in Gideon on Sunday nights, we've been on talking about Gideon, about how he had all these soldiers and God cut him down to 300 because it's not by might. So what God is calling you to do, don't think you need anybody else, because numbers don't matter. He goes on to say, nor by power. Well, now that's the strength of one man. No matter how intelligent I am, no matter how much money I have, no matter what I have, I can't do it. And you can't either. And generally, that's what stops us from doing what God has called us to do. If we feel a tug at our heart and the Holy Spirit's saying, I want you to do this, we think we don't have all of that intelligence. We don't have all that scripture knowledge. We don't have all of that ability. I can't do it. If you've got all of that, you still can't do it. Understand it's not by numbers. Understand it's not by how well equipped we are. We have to understand what we really are. We are an individual, one individual on the face of this planet. And I think in some way I'm going to change things? No. He tells him, all he's wanting him to do, and I say all he's wanting him to do is to complete the rebuild of the temple. He's the governor. He could have ordered a lot of people. He could have got a lot of things in there to get this done. And God says, that's not going to get it done. Not by might nor by power is going to get God's will done in your life. We have to stay small. We have to stay humble. Because if I ever get to a point of thinking I can do it, or you ever get to a point of thinking you can do it, then pride comes in. And when pride comes in, you're going down. Because it's not about us, it's about Jesus. We have to stay small. Because if I realize I can't do it, then who am I going to depend on to get it done? I cannot do anything by myself. I can't do anything if I have 10,000 people supporting me, if I'm doing it or trying to do it by might or by power. God's Word says that can't do it. When it comes to salvation, man, I had thousands of people praying for me. That's great. But what did it really take? It took the power of Jesus. It took the blood of Jesus. It took the grace of God to get that done. And that brings us to the next step. And that's stay connected. He says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's not numbers, it's not strength, it's not intelligence, not any of those things, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's the only way you can answer that question. What is God calling you to do today? The only way you can get that done is by the Spirit of God. And that means you have to surrender to Him. When you ask Him, God, what are you wanting me to do? What are you wanting to do with my life? What's your plan and what's your purpose for my life? I know that's the reason I'm here. That's what the Bible tells us. We are here to glorify and honor God with our lives. God, what do you want to do in our lives? We cannot do it without your power. We have to understand that with all the power, think about the power that's there. He's the one that guides, leads, protects, enables, and even saves us. That's the power of God. That's the power we have accessible to us. I can remember years ago doing a children's message where I brought a fan up here and I went to turn it on and it wouldn't come on. So I had to get an extension cord and run to it. And I turned it on and I moved it and the extension cord popped off and the fan quit. Because when the fan lost connection to the electricity, it quit. And when you lose connection to the power of God, it's not going to work. You have to stay connected. You have to stay connected to that power. Because there's a little bitty word in there that we can't miss. And it's by my spirit. There is no other way. Zerubbabel could have been, had all those people, and he could have said, hey, this is what we're going to do. And God could have told him through Zechariah, hey, I want you to build a temple. Okay, I've got this, God. And he goes on and he starts to do it. It's not going to work. There has to be a total connection, a relationship, knowing that daily God is supporting him, daily God is with him, daily God is strengthening him, daily God is protecting him, because that's the power that you and I have to be connected to. If you think you can make it through this life without it, we need to talk, because Satan is deceiving you. If I want to say that I accepted Jesus and then I walk on my own and I'm never connected with Him, I'm never prayerfully connected with Him, then where is the disconnect? It's me. We have to stay connected. And the reason I added those first few verses there, as I went back and praying over this and studying over it, it talks about those candlesticks, those lampstands that were made solid gold, and they had these seven bowls, and it was this perfect way of bringing the light. And it's that idea that the temple that Zerubbabel is building is going to shine the light of God. And how is he going to get that done? But there's two olive trees that it mentions. Now, back then, they used to take olive oil from the trees, and the priest's job was to continually fill up these bowls or these lamps so that the light would never go out. But God is saying, hey, I'm putting a tree on both sides. And that's the understanding that that tree is always going to supply the oil. It's a constant. If the trees aren't in that vision, then it's saying, oh, well, you can fill up occasionally, and you come back once a day and fill up with oil, and everything's fine. But the understanding in that vision is that you need a constant supply of oil to the lamp. If you're going to fulfill what God has called you to do, you need a constant supply of oil, the Holy Spirit, the connection with God. So we have to stay small, we have to stay humble, realize we can't do it. We have to stay connected by His Spirit, says the Lord. Don't miss that. This is not me telling you this. This was not Zechariah telling Zerubbabel, hey, this is what you need to do. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It doesn't say, says Zechariah. It doesn't say, says pastor, says mom or dad, says Uncle Joe. It says the Lord. That's His word. That's the only way you will accomplish what He's calling you to do, is to stay connected. And as I said, to understand where we're at as human beings, that we need that salvation, we have to understand we can't do it on our own. It's only by the blood of Jesus. We must be connected. The next one, stay active. Well, man, Pastor, that famous verse, we're out of it. What are you going to do now? You going to add something to it? No, I'm not. I'm going to look at this next verse. Stay active. Where are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. God is saying, don't worry about the obstacles. Keep working. Because that mountain of obstacles that are out there that you thought of when God begins to tell you what He wants you to do, how are you going to accomplish that? Look at all the obstacles, and God says, that mountain is going to become a plain. It's going to be flat. All you've got to do is keep working. The obstacles that you and I face, we will never overcome. But the obstacles that are in front of us when God calls us for His purpose and His plan, He will overcome. You can't do it, I can't do it. But He can, and He will. Get this. And He shall bring forth the capstone. The capstone was that one stone that was on that finalized that the project is done. But you know what? I was researching a while back about this, and not just this one. But anytime they would build something and they would use masonry and they'd cut these stones out, one of the first stones they cut out was the capstone. They would cut out the capstone, that last and final stone, and they would set it aside. And then they would lay the foundation and they would build everything up. And when everything was finalized and it was ready to be complete, they would go over and grab that capstone and they'd put it on. And the significance in that is this. When God started working on you, He's already got the capstone. He's already got, it's the same as finished. He's going to accomplish what He sets out to do in you. I know we quote that scripture all the time, that God's Word will not return in Him void, but will accomplish everything He sets it out to do. And that's true. It's in there. But you know what? When God empowers His people and He sets them out to do something, He's going to accomplish what He sets out to do. Not what Steve sets out to do. Not what anybody else sets out to do, but what He sets out to do. He will accomplish that. He will accomplish that. He will take over the obstacles. He will be able to put you there so that, like He says with Zerubbabel, says, and He shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. That's just praise to God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands shall also finish it. When God calls you to do something, God has a way for you to finish it. We need to understand that the one thing that keeps God's purpose and His plan from being accomplished in my life is my lack of faith. God's power is there. God's purpose is there. God's plan is there. But if my faith is not there, if I'm not surrendering my life to Him, to saying, God, I will do what You set before me, that's the one thing that hinders it. So as we look at this morning in closing, stay small, stay connected, and stay active. Now let's go back to that first question. What is God calling you to do today? Well, I think in my life, God, I can see down the road what God wants me to do when I get out of college. Or I can see what God wants me to do when I retire. Or I can see what God wants me to do No, God has something for you to do today. If I'm looking towards even tomorrow, I'm missing the opportunities of today. We have to understand that God has a time and a purpose and a plan for us. Mordecai said to Esther, "Who knows that for such a time as this?" This is the time that God has set for you to do what He has called for you to do. Now, it may not be some big and mighty thing, but if it's the hand of God, it's mighty. It may be small. So in staying small, recognize your condition. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, these same three things work for you. Recognize your condition. You need the cross of Jesus. That's the only way. Everybody is going to pay for sin unless Jesus takes their penalty for sin. The only way to overcome that is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to repent of your sins, and follow Him as the Lord of your life. You can't lose any of those stages. You can't take any of those stages out. If you do, it's not the gospel. And then you just stay connected. You begin that relationship with Him. And you realize that He died for you and that you live for Him. And then you become active in serving Him and living for Him and reaching others for Him. So you can stay small, stay connected, and stay active too. But Christian, we know better. We still need Him. We need to stay connected. And He's coming back. And He needs to find us active. It's not by might, nor by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord. He has your capstone ready. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this day and Your word. Lord, I pray that You would take it, use it, be glorified, move in this place, that we would honor You with the decisions of what You want to do in our lives. In Your name we pray. Amen.